spaceship. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
Welcome to the Brad and Britt cast. Three out of four. We will be completing after today, and then we have another one, and then we just sit back and watch our favorite NFL teams all weekend. Who's playing this weekend?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals. They're going to be in action with Conrad Dobler. You know, he's the dirtiest player in football.
That's what I hear. All right. Let me give you a choice here. Let me give you a choice where we're going to start off.
Sure.
Why they really don't want the January 6th commission to ever see the light of day, the Republicans.
Yeah.
Greg Abbott.
Oh. That's all you got to say is that name.
Conspiracy at the state level.
Let's do door number one and talk about the January 6th commission. I understand that Mitch McConnell has said no dice, and of course, being the majority leader of the Senate, oh wait, he's not. He gets to go ahead and smack that thing down, right?
Well, I mean, they would need 10 Republicans. It's a filibuster kind of thing. So
yeah, it's a filibuster thing, which seems anti-democratic to me for some reason.
But apparently the real reason, and shockingly, we have folks who are Republicans who are hiding their motives as if we don't know what they really are. If you remember right after January 6th, we saw several members of Congress, Democrats in particular, say that they saw some Republicans giving tours to certain people the day before.
I remember this.
Remember that?
I remember it.
Now, and by the way, don't confuse this with the fact that they've tried to portray January 6th. They try to portray January 6th as just another typical day of people touring the Capitol.
That's a whole other level of stupidity.
Right. These are personal tours. Yeah, I guess if you know your congressperson and you got some kind of relationship with them, and they could say, come on up on, let's pick a day, January 5th, 2021. I'll show you around the place. All right. Bottom line. They know or they suspect that, and without any question, that if there are hearings in public and people are under oath and they've got to tell the truth under, you got to tell the truth or you're in contempt of Congress, you're all kinds of terrible things. You lie. There are too many Republicans who are actually in on it. That's it. Bottom line.
That's all there is. It's Occam's razor. We don't have to go any further than that. Well,
Don't try to drill down. Don't try to think about it.
Hang on a second. No, Brad, you're completely wrong. That's just crazy talk. I can't believe that you would say such. I mean, I can't even work up a good devil's advocate argument on that because that's so obviously true. That's not even a controversial statement at this point. Jesus.
And now you have Liz Cheney cast aside from a leadership position, and she's continuing to talk. And guess what? She knows. She knows who it is.
Well,
and there are other people who know who it is. Mitch McConnell probably knows who it is. And it doesn't matter what they're saying in public about. And by the way, this could push aside whatever the old example was of ridiculous whataboutism, where they're saying, well, we can't do this unless you bring up what happened in Portland.
Right.
They want part of this investigation and this commission to examine what happened after January 6th when that guy crashed the gates with his car and died, as if that is some kind of grand really questioning that one.
Yeah, boy, the liberals are really covering that whole thing up. I think they're right about that. That's been a big, huge cover up for a while.
Right. Right.
Holy shit.
Wait. And the other thing they keep bringing, and we want to have an investigation parallel to what happened on January 6th, if it were to occur, which it's not going to, because we don't want it to, because half of us were in on it. Okay. We're traitors. We should be tried for treason, but we can't admit that. So they're making this up. We want to know about the guy that drove the car into the Capitol. We want to know about all the protests and the violence around the country the previous summer. You have to say it that way now. We're already to summer, so it's now going to be the previous summer here. And right. that has to be included in this.
Right.
And it just... Let's just get, oh, also, we need to know more about the guy who shot up the congressional softball game a couple years ago. How come we don't know anything more about that, Britt?
They were pissed off because they classified that as suicide by cop, is what they've officially said that was. And now there are a lot of Republicans.
Here's the thing. That guy apparently was a lefty.
Oh, without question. I mean,
There's no question about it.
If we were exactly like conservatives, we would completely deny that and say, no, that's not what happened. And it's 100%. He completely was. I mean, that's the fact.
Right.
But yes, for them to this is the ultimate in whataboutism. This is we had insurrection on January the 6th. And I know that some stuff happened last summer, and I'm not down with everything that happened last summer, but I'm going to say it again. If you break a window at Bob's Soda Shop in Dayton, it's not quite the same as coming to the Capitol and trying to murder Mike Pence and Kamala Harris. And, now, you know, it's not quite the same.
Wait a minute. Now, to be fair, when a major investigation occurred right after Pearl Harbor, they also investigated when the Maine was sunk. Okay.
Yeah.
They also investigated when a Chinese guy got discriminated against during the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. They threw in all this other stuff. So why can't the answer, of course, is no, that didn't happen. No. And I guess, of course, it's just ridiculous on its face.
It is.
And I hate that we have to make cogent arguments against stupidity.
It is.
And cover-ups.
This would be the same as if you were opposing a 9/11 commission. This is the same thing. This is the exact same thing, except that these people had a little bit different skin tone and didn't worship Allah. Other than that, you might as well have opposed the 9/11 commission.
Well, it would be as if you opposed it and you opposed it based on. We also want to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk.
Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
We also want to, you know, just go back
exactly.
15 years before
Whitewater,
that bring up.
Paula Jones. We want to talk about all of those things. I mean, we'll do it if you go along with that. Yeah, that's right.
That all being said, of course, the most recent example of a commission and congressional hearings to investigate something single-mindedly without anything else getting in the way because it was really important. Starts with a B, Britt. What do you think it was? Benghazi. they didn't just hold. They held hearing after hearing after hearing. And then, remember, they bragged about the fact that they knew that the Benghazi hearings had chipped away at Hillary Clinton's credibility.
They did.
And just sit down because there is a body of thought. There's a body of thought that the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi have to say it like that. Pelosi. Right. Are only interested in having a January 6th commission because Donald Trump is still a viable political actor in the country and could run again. And this is the only way that the liberals and the left think that they can finally squash Donald Trump. This is the only reason. And suppose Donald Trump was already dead. Suppose he died of a heart attack 3 weeks ago. Would they still want to investigate what happened on January 6th? And I swear to you, Britt, the right wing they wouldn't. They wouldn't care about January 6th. This is just all to make Donald Trump look bad. By the way, as everything ever over the last 5 years that's ever come up is only designed to make him look bad.
If one of those guys could sneak down to Mar-a-Lago and put some bleach into his Diet Coke and test out the theory, I'd be grateful. But you know, I don't understand what that is and where that gets us. I don't give a shit. I don't care if he's a viable candidate, isn't a viable. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if he is, and this is a way to take him down, then fucking good. But it still happened on January the 6th. They still stormed the Capitol. A police officer is dead. They were trying to murder Mike Pence and anybody else they could get their hands on. Keep your eye on the ball. It still happened, and it needs to be investigated as to who helped these fuckers out.
Well, I would be a little bit more nuanced in saying if, in fact, these hearings did occur and we got a 9/11 commission of bipartisanship, and we really did get people under oath, including Kevin McCarthy. Oh, by the way, isn't that the other main 100% reason they don't want this? Because Kevin McCarthy knows. Kevin McCarthy had a conversation with Donald Trump that day. We know about it. Liz Cheney knows about it.
It was an unpleasant conversation. It was a very unpleasant conversation.
Right. And you know, all that Kevin McCarthy cares about is trying to maintain his political viability to be the next speaker of the House.
Right.
But I would nuance it this way, as far as trying to say that this is all about going after Donald Trump personally and politically. And there's no regard for the fact that the United States government, that elections, that the process of free and fair elections was on the line, and that the vice president and members of Congress was specifically threatened with death. There was none of that. It was all about Trump. If it took out Donald Trump as a viable political actor, as a byproduct, okay. But anybody that thinks that that's the main point is just being a backdoor Trumpist. They're absolutely a backdoor Trump suck-up to say that that's the reason. In other words, everyone else's motives surrounding their support for Donald Trump, they're pure. They're absolutely pure. But everybody else, the critics, the rest of us, we're the ones. We're the bad guys.
I would even stipulate, if I was in the House or I was in the Senate, I would say, okay, the commission will not specifically look at the role of the president in inciting these people. You can go ahead and omit that from the report. We'll let the courts deal with that. We'll let whoever deal with that. That's fine if that's what you guys think, but this still needs to be
looked at. They still wouldn't take it.
Of course they wouldn't. They wouldn't take the deal because they're right. They keep it's insane. It's insane. And I'm looking for next January when it comes time to commemorate these attacks, to memorialize this and to have some. They're going to try to say, no, we shouldn't do that. Don't gather on the front steps of the Capitol. Don't have a ceremony. And then it's going to be, well, what about we have a ceremony for blah, blah, blah that happened during the riots of the summer of 2020? What about, this, that, and the other? They're going to continue to throw this shit out there. They can't get – somebody stormed our Capitol in anger for the first time in 200 years. And it wasn't the British this time. It was our own folks. And if you can't understand the importance of that, or you continue to downplay or you minimize it, then you're awful. You're not doing your job. I think you should probably say the oath of office that is taken by these people should omit the part about all enemies, foreign and domestic. Forget the domestic, because you obviously don't give a shit about the domestic threats to this country. That's what you're saying. That should be there should be a vote. There should be like a symbolic vote to have the and domestic part of the oath taken out, because these assholes obviously aren't serious about it and they don't care and they're going to continue to minimize it. It's unbelievable.
Let's for 1 second pretend that these hearings actually don't occur.
Right.
They don't.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good pretend, because it's likely that the Republicans, who are, of course, evil, will figure out a way to gum this up and not let it get through.
Right.
Based on the attention span of the American people, and this is not about you or me.
No.
Or Jake Tapper or Lawrence O'Donnell,
no,
remember, or Peter Baker of the New York Times, or Tom Friedman, knowing that this is an important part of American history and it needs to be drilled down upon and analyzed, and people must be held accountable for what happened. It cannot let pass by. But everyone is not wrapped up in this like we are. And I take you back less than six months ago, and Donald Trump was impeached for a second time. And I submit to you that in this short amount of time, that has been forgotten by a huge swath of people. So the Republican calculation over and over and over again, and they did learn this from Trump, that's for sure, that it doesn't matter how shitty a thing you do. It doesn't matter how anti-democratic, small d, anti-constitutional, lawless, outrageous, beyond any sense of decency. It doesn't matter what you do. If you can just stall long enough, there will be something else that will come along and people's attention will be diverted.
Sure.
And you will have gotten away with what you've gotten away with. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you know what? The Republican strategy for them, it's as good as it gets. This is what they do. This is what they do every time. Will they be held accountable for it? I don't know. But we do live in a world of recorded images of a moment in American history that are never going to be able to be refuted, honestly. And your hope and my hope and your hope is that over time, it just whittles away at the denial and the what we think is the insanity and the cognitive dissonance and the loyalty to Donald Trump over all things that and history that we will win out in that way. And that's a horrible bet to have to make, but it might be the only one we have because we are dealing with a psychopathic, inexplicable cult of people for whom nothing else matters except getting the W.
Oh, owning the libs. Owning libs.
That's a big part.
That's it. That's what the Republican Party is now. It's not even really about tax cuts for the rich. They'll eventually try to do that again, of course, anytime they get a chance to. But right now, it's just owning the libs, and it's doing it in the stupidest way possible. That's all that they want to do. That's what they're all about.
At risk to the entire country?
Absolutely.
At risk to the Constitution?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, that's been proven time and time again, hasn't it? That's not, that's not even controversial.
Right. I'll tell you what, you know, we didn't have time yesterday because of what happened in Elizabeth City and the press conference by the prosecutor, which you didn't really see that much of it early in the day. So we didn't have a chance to talk about it. So I want to go. Have you had a chance to look at just the short amount of video that they've put out there? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. All right. So I was sitting outside this morning with the dog on the porch, perfect day, 72 degrees, no humidity, very, very quiet. And, I thought about what I saw on Tuesday when a prosecutor held that just absurd, quote unquote press conference, which it wasn't a press conference. It was just him talking and then pretending he couldn't hear the nuanced, intelligent questions about the lies that he was telling about the video that we could all see.
It's the old, again, the late Larry King, right? I'm sorry, I don't know him. When I was calling about Howard Stern.
So I'm gonna read you my post on this.
Okay.
It says, I immediately noticed, and I did see this yesterday, but it was after we were done, when I saw the first clips of the prosecutor. This guy's name is Andrew Womble.
Okay.
Pasquotank County, North Carolina. Hello. And these were his words right up front. Ready? Mr. Brown's death, while tragic, was justified. And I heard that. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, you mean you're saying his death was justified? You weren't even about to say at the top that the actions of the police were justified, and it's unfortunate that they resulted in his death
was justified.
Was justified. And I thought that was a big deal. I thought that was a real hearkening back to the white supremacist establishment, particularly in the South, as it related to law enforcement and the court system and the injustice that has been done in this country, particularly to black people, for, well, hundreds of years. His death was tragic, but it was justified, really. So then I thought, well, wait a minute. That sounds like the defense attorney for Derek Chauvin, who, by the way, in case you've forgotten already, because that was a month ago, right. Derek Chauvin lost.
Yeah,
the defense attorney's argument that what we all saw on the video wasn't what we all saw on the video. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your ears. Don't believe all the witnesses who were within 10 or 20 feet. Don't believe them. Believe me. Believe me that his knee wasn't on his neck. It was on the back of his shoulders, and nobody bought it. But that's what this prosecutor in Elizabeth City on Tuesday was doing. He was playing the Derek Chauvin-style defense of the indefensible.
Eric Nelson is the name of that attorney who also was it was the drugs in his system. It was the heart disease. It was carbon monoxide. It was all of these things. But it certainly wasn't Derek Chauvin's knee on George Floyd's neck. That's not what killed him. And the jury somehow didn't buy that for whatever reason.
You know, we've all heard or read or seen. And now there are a lot of documentaries coming out and movies about what happened in Tulsa and in Wilmington, and almost probably every city in the country 110, 120 years ago, maybe even not that long ago, where black established people who had pulled themselves up after the Civil War had really made something of themselves, and white folks in a lot of these places, they couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it. They revolted.
Right.
They overthrew. They killed. They raped. They pillaged. They set fires. They did all kinds of things like that. And I don't know how this came into my mind. I don't know how I saw it. Maybe I was looking for something else. But I completely forgot that in the Constitution, okay, I know this is the last bastion of a bad argument. When you quote the Constitution, you got nothing left, right?
That's it, right?
You ready? Here we go. Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, known as the Fugitive Slave Clause, and this is still in the Constitution.
All right.
It's still there. Here's what it says. No person held to service or labor in one state, that means nobody who's a slave, under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor. In other words, if you're a slave in Alabama and you escape to Ohio, the laws of Ohio, which may say slavery is illegal, they don't count. You must be delivered upon claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. So if the plantation owner sends a message up to Ohio and says, where is John, my slave?
Yeah.
Well, you have to send him. That was the Fugitive Slave Clause. That was right there near the famous Three-Fifths Clause, where slaves only counted as three-fifths of a person.
That's right.
And I thought, holy shit. Next time somebody says to you, systematic racism, are you kidding?
Yeah.
There's no way. No. Systematic racism was built into the Constitution. 1619 is an important year in the founding of the United States of America, even if it was 170 years before we were really free of...
Who is it that's got their panties in a ringer about the 1619 Project? Is it Tom Cotton? Is he the one that's so adamantly opposed to that?
All of them. The usual suspects, all of them. Oh, my God.
it's indoctrination. God. It's all this other shit that they say it is, right?
Right. So I don't know what's going to happen. The FBI, immediately said, we're going to investigate this. So when mom said to you, don't make a federal case out of it. Oh, there's going to be a federal case made out of this. All right. Because you cannot let the final word on this be. And by the way, you know, we haven't seen all the video yet, and they selectively let out what 40 seconds. Come on, how dumb does this guy think everybody is? Oh well, I saw that. I'll take your word for it. You know, people can have different views of a video, Britt.
I get a strong sense from these guys of like some Philadelphia, Mississippi syndrome, that they feel like they're so isolated out there in Pasco County that they're going to be able to get away with this cover up bullshit. I think that's what they think.
Really, I can't believe. I don't care where you are, that anymore that people would even begin to think that way, that you know, we are the world is flat, everybody sees everything.
It's a national story. It's being covered.
It's a worldwide story.
It's a huge story, but I just feel like this guy is like, we're up here, we got it covered, you city slickers can go fuck off. I mean, I'm getting a strong whiff of that, and I think he's in for a rude awakening on that, because that's not how the world works.
Yeah, there's probably always some of that going on, but anymore, you know, I have some news for this prosecutor. Most of the people in your city and in your county, they get cable too. they have smartphones too. I mean, this is not an argument anymore.
To
think that you're isolated, when your city is on TV live every night with reporters walking with people marching and protesting to what happened in court earlier that day or at a press conference.
It's a problem.
You can't possibly think.
It's a bit of a problem. I get a strong whiff of that from this guy. I just feel like, you know, and that's why they feel like, we'll just release whatever we want to you. We'll just release a little bit of the video, whatever we want to, anytime that we want to, and you guys won't say shit about it. And then eventually there's going to be like a situation where they're going to look into whether this man's civil rights were violated by being executed in such a way.
Well, that's a given.
That's it.
Can we do a little mask talk? Because you know what?
I was thinking about this too. I was thinking about you, because I've been having these radio dreams lately. I've been having these dead air dreams about the radio and stuff about. Wouldn't this be a great radio promotion at your country station to have a mask burning party? Wouldn't that be the greatest like radio promotion right now to have if you were some asshole Kix 106 country station to have?
I think you'd be a little bit late now, because I think, you know, remember people did it. Where was that in Utah or somewhere else several months ago?
Right.
Or it was in Idaho. And, you know, they'd get the old 55 gallon drum and light it on fire and throw their masks in, and there were kids and stuff. I think it might be a little bit late for that. But most of us are going, I want to think, on our own common sense, and we have most of the way through this to navigate it through. And, yes, there are CDC recommendations. They're not the law, but they make sense, and they're based on science. And I was in Walmart yesterday. Not a big Walmart. I went as in a food Walmart, which is
the neighborhood. Big. I love the neighborhood ones. Store. They're great.
And before I went in, I took a mask with me. I just had one with me. And I was trying to figure out, what percentage of people are going to be maskless in there? Because they've taken down all the signage now. All down. It is as if we're back in 2019 before this happened, because, the rules in North Carolina are, if you know, you don't have to wear a mask. And if a business wants to impose their own, they can. I guess some still are. Walmart was one of the first to say, okay, mask free. When I went in there, there was no question about it. I would say a good 60 to 70% of people were wearing masks. And you know what that told me? And by the way, you can have all the stereotypes you want about the, quote, typical Walmart shopper. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Have them.
Okay. But
in the end, people do have good sense. Now, the real problem is that the 30% or so who aren't wearing masks, we have no idea whether those are vaccinated people who are just saying, cool, I don't have to wear a mask anymore, or whether a lot of them are unvaccinated and could still be easily spreading the virus to those other unmasked people who are part of that 30%. We don't know, because that really sets you back if you have even a smaller group of people passing it around when they didn't have to, not taking precautions, not distancing anymore, not wearing masks. But to have gone into a Walmart yesterday, I thought it was fantastic. I thought that was just a great display by people. And I just thought it superseded all the back and forth that we might have, say, here or anywhere else where you see the thing discussed about, it was a mixed message. Nobody knows what to do. No, you know what to do. You know what to do. You know what makes sense. And there was a time where I had my biggest problem going grocery shopping is I have a hell of a time opening up those plastic bags to put the vegetables. I can't.
Oh, it's tough.
Goddamn things open. Okay.
How have they not figured that out? How have they not been able to?
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Anyway, and so you have to have your hands wet to be able to do it, to grip them. Yeah. So I took my mask off.
Licked the thing like a schlub.
But I used to have to shove my finger up under my mask. Okay, big deal. We are several months away, at least, I think, from everybody just about in all cases saying, I don't need a mask, even among the vaccinated among us. And I also have to think, we can't be the first ones to be thinking about this. The clock is ticking on the length of the effectiveness of our vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how long they're effective. And I know that, the CDC and the folks that are thinking about this, they're definitely on it. And that when we do have to get these booster shots, we're going to have to get these booster shots. So you're going to have this whole thing over and over again where people go, you said it was going to sell. They're going to bitch about it, right? They're going to bitch about it.
Nobody said if you got this shot, it's going to last forever and you're never going to get sick. Nobody ever said that. No one ever said that. But they're going to imagine that somebody actually said that, but they never.
Right. But the only way, I guess, we're going to know how long the shot lasts in terms of its effectiveness is when, enough people who were vaccinated earliest start to pick up, the coronavirus. And we won't know until then. So then they'll know, and then they'll say,
what's your personal view on wearing a mask in a store? I mean, how long do you see yourself doing?
You know what? It's funny because you do get used to everything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't bother me at all, but I'm down to just wearing the paper ones, which are so light. They're nothing.
But it's sun protection. I also invested in several of these things, and I want to wear them. Some of them display wrestling stuff that I like, or maybe a musician that I like. So I want to wear it. No, I'm okay with wearing the mask, for as long as I need to. I'll always do it in a store.
I think it's just symbolic to other people that since that they don't know whether you are vaccinated or not,
exactly,
you're gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and say to them, okay, you don't know, so I'm gonna do this. So cool.
It comes down to selfishness. It's selfishness versus selflessness is what it is, essentially.
It always was, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But 100%. But even if you get it, and now what you could say, now that you've been fully vaccinated, I've been fully, we could say, fuck, which, by the way, is the Republican mindset. Fuck it. I got mine. I don't give a shit. I'm just going to walk around and just breathe air and just let out droplets everywhere I go. But we're kind of having a little more studied view of it. We're kind of being a little more circumspect about the whole thing.
Well, I think there needs to be a little stalking of people like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson to catch them out in public.
Oh, no.
Either wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. And if you're not wearing a mask, we can assume you're vaccinated, right? You wouldn't be that irresponsible. I want some of that. We're not getting that. I'm only doing it.
I'm only doing it because my wife wants me to. You'll pull a Chris Christie. Remember, Chris Christie had to go, and he only went down to in the middle of the hurricane because his wife made him go to Disney World because they had planned a vacation, right?
My wife made me do it. My wife made me wear the thing over to Publix, so that's why I wore the, you know, that sort of shit.
You had a Greg Abbott story. I'm assuming it's about this nonsense fetal heartbeat shit.
Yeah, I love talking about abortions. That's real.
Well, it's fun. I mean, it's I don't like playing the abortion card, but if it's dealt to us, which it is constantly, you know, they only care about the economy. Really, is what Republicans do, the economy and business. So that's what they're focused on. That's why they're trying to make sure that women's ovaries are once again enslaved, if you will.
Yeah. So Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, has another one of these signing ceremony things, and I think it was 50 men and 7 women surrounding him because nobody knows abortion more than men.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody's into it more than men. Nobody's into restricting it more than men
somehow.
And this is one of these at least right now unconstitutional laws, and that's why they do this. They pass these unconstitutional laws in states. And if possible, you know, it'll become a Supreme Court case. But the Supreme Court's already taken some other case, I think, from Mississippi. So Greg Abbott's just doing this because he's a great guy. He isn't trying to get this to the Supreme Court. And this is what this is down to, 6 weeks. Anything after 6 weeks.
Right,
so,
right.
And as you know, even if you have not had children, you've seen it on TV enough to know that nobody knows in 6 weeks, usually. Hardly anybody knows. That's a pretty early time.
It's true.
A lot of people aren't even realizing it. And so you are, in effect, outlawing abortions in your state. And, you know, that's just – they're just doing it because they think they can, and they think
– all of this fetal heartbeat stuff is – fantasy, and it's like their pseudoscience. This is the one time they want to actually believe in science, but it's not really. They just make this shit up. This fetal heartbeat stuff has always been BS, but they're trying to codify it. And there's, you know, a generation of women, possibly two at this point, who just refuse to believe that this is going to be a thing, that they're ever going to be able to overturn Roe v. Wade. And they're probably closer to doing it than they've ever been in my lifetime. I mean, obviously, I was born 3 years before Roe v. Wade was passed, so obviously within my lifetime, but I think they're closer to overturning Roe v. Wade than there's ever been.
Well, I think what you can just assume that's going to happen, and I assume that what we will have is a situation that would be the ultimate red versus blue America on the map for where you can still legally terminate a pregnancy, get an abortion, and places that have passed laws like this in Texas, which would be legal if.
Which is, what an indictment of supposedly the land of the free. If a woman is born in California, she's fine, but she's born in Mississippi, she's screwed. I mean, that's bullshit, right? I'm sorry, I can't sign off on that as being okay.
I'm not saying it's okay.
Yeah,
but the practical effects are not. You know, they've chipped away for decades, so that in states like Texas,
right,
and Oklahoma, and Arkansas, or Mississippi, you know, it would be as if there was only one McDonald's in the entire state. But
right.
I hate it. So I'll go to another state where there's 100 McDonald's. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
And how long is it going to be before they make it illegal to transport somebody across state lines to get an abortion? I mean, how long is that? It's going to be before they do that. Well, like if you're bordering a state, and then
I understand that, we'll end up just going back to where we were before 1973, and it's terrible, and
it's dreadful.
It's what they do.
And that is the John Edwards to America. That is the two Americas that John Edwards saying, because the country club folks, if their daughters get in trouble, if I may use the 50s terminology, they're always going to be able to figure out a solution.
Well, see, but here's the good thing. The good thing is that the number of abortions has been going down
yeah.
forever, just right. forever, for a whole variety of
sure.
of reasons. And in effect, like so many other things, fill in name of thing that Republicans do that is a solution in search of a problem. This would be the ultimate example of that, wouldn't it, at this point, right? Because yeah. the first ruling on this was in 1973, or as we like to say in our graduation year in high school, we're the best as you can see. We're the class of 73.
73, there they are.
That's all we could ever come up with that year in high school. Just terrible.
Just dreadful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was, you know, and that you have to educate some people because they don't understand what would happen back in the 50s and 60s where these women would go to these, you know, these guttural places and get these abortions from these butchers and die.
I don't think we go back to that actual
yeah.
thing, because it's not as if people in Texas, if they live 400 miles, because Texas is so big, right? It's 1,000 miles across. So you could easily be hundreds of miles away.
Easily.
And it's already easier to probably leave and cross the state line and go into New Mexico or somewhere like that, a less right-wing place, and get what you need done. And I'm not saying that that's a legitimate answer or solution,
no.
but I'm talking about the practicality of what it means
sure.
in a country that for the most part has moved on and thought that this was settled law.
Well, this is the 21st century.
Remember, the Civil War is not settled law either.
Oh, it's by no means
fighting the Civil War. But remember, absolutely. we can't talk about January 6th. That was way in the past.
Oh yeah. And why can't you black folks just get over it? But meanwhile, 1865 alive and well. And then let me fly my rebel flag all over the place. Sure. No, the 21st century solution for this is going to be somebody's going to read some shit on Reddit about how to do an at-home abortion. And then that's how they'll end up killing themselves in the 21st century, because they live, you know, they're not able to get the Southwest $50 flight out of Houston or Dallas and head to California or wherever they need to go to get it done. So, I mean, you want to end on another happier note than that? Do you want to leave it there?
How could it be any better than that?
How could it
be any happier than that? Are you nuts?
That's a happy Wednesday to all of you. Enjoy hump day.
BradandBrit.com.